Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul. We are here with our guests, Krista Schwartig and Rodney Lamb, here to talk about The Seafarer, which opens tonight at Cyrano's, and which I saw a little piece of last night. It's very interesting.
Why did you just see a little piece of it? What happened?
That makes it sound bad, Jean. Don't do that to us.
All right. Well, if you're rehearsing, that wouldn't be unlikely. Actually, I forgot my hearing aids.
Okay, the truth comes out. It has nothing to do with our show. You just couldn't hear us.
Nothing at all.
Let that be a warning. So did you, if you had one hearing aid, you could watch one act. But you didn't have any, so you just... What did you see? Did you like what you saw?
I saw the whole first act, and I liked it. How's that?
All right, okay.
And I'm going back to see
the other. We encourage you to come and see the second act, because it gets better.
And hear it, actually, too.
Actually, I would have stayed, but my ride was going
home. See all the problems that can happen when you go to see a play?
Yeah, I hadn't quite thought of that one, but this is a really dialogue-intense show. The language of this play is just gorgeous. Conor McPherson is a modern, fairly prolific Irish playwright who hasn't been performed here. No, that's not true. They did a show of his in the UAA Studio Theater, I think, a couple of years ago. Forgetting the name of it, which is terrible. But he writes sort of these wonderful modern plays with a little bit of suspense and great humor, and the language does
it doesn't language driven thing.
And character driven, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, what's it? You know, when you have a play that is so dependent on the words. Of course, every play has words, but what's the difference between a play that's kind of like a construction of words? Like there's some writings that way. It's a writing that's almost based on itself and on its own, like ontological foundations. And a different play like that is more, you know, narrative, and you know where it's going to a climactic action where everything's building, where it isn't so much of this internal, you know, peripheral. I like the language stuff. But, I mean, how do you direct that as opposed to?
Well, let's not make this sound like it's a really intellectual play. I mean, the play is about it's about a group of friends who are playing poker together on Christmas Eve in modern day Dublin, and a mysterious stranger comes into their midst, and it's about how that stranger's entry into the picture affects each of these other four characters. So it really is a character-driven piece, and the language is in service to the characters.
And Rodney, you play the mysterious stranger?
No. I play Sharky, who's one of the two brothers. I guess he's the lead of the show.
Sharky is the sort of pivot point around the show. He has an older brother who's played by Dick Reichman, a Dick Reichman that I promise you have never seen before. And then the two other friends are played by John Minton, who's a very fine actor from UAA, who has not done a lot of work at Cyrano's, but is just really terrific in this show.
Oh, yeah.
And Mark Stoneburner, who I'm sure is familiar to a lot of this audience. And Kevin Bennett plays the mysterious stranger.
Oh, Kevin Bennett. Yeah, yeah. Well, you got a fine cast.
Very good cast. I'm just thrilled to have had this group of actors.
And it's full of fun. It really is. It is not. Let's not steer people away because it is.
Oh
funny.
No! This is a wonderful play. It is. It is funny. It is suspenseful. And we don't know what's going to happen to Sharky without giving the plot away, because I really don't want to. It really is. There becomes a tension. The through line of the play is, what is going to happen to Sharky at the end of the play?
And that is why I am going back, because
you don't know.
At the end of the second act, at the end of the first act, I was left really wanting to know what was going to happen to Sharky, and I have to go back and find out.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a cliffhanger there.
There is, as we send people out to intermission. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a wonderful play about a group of friends of differing personalities. and the wonderful sort of salty humor, I would say, leave the kids at home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there it's a poker and beer and, you know, Irish
and
humor.
Brogues.
What more could you want?
And then they have Dublin accents then?
Well, not everyone is, not all of the characters are from Dublin. So the accents vary a little bit from person to person, but everyone does have an Irish accent.
And Rodney, how did you research your Irish accent? Is it an accent or a dialect?
It's a I think of it as a dialect.
Yeah, we like to call it dialect.
Dialect, okay, yeah. And a brogue is just a word for something from the British Isles or something, or particularly
Irish. No, it's from Ireland.
Irish. A brogue is a shoe, right?
It is a type of shoe.
It's a shoe. It's a shoe.
That's news to me.
Yeah. But so how did you research your brogue?
Well, you know, I watched some movies that were based around Dublin. We had some tapes and some books to read. So, you know, we worked with some actual dialect material that specifically addressed the Dublin dialect. And watch a couple movies, you know, just try to get it in your head.
Uh-huh. Well, you did that play before. What was it, the Lieutenant?
The Lieutenant of Inishmore.
Inishmore. It wasn't that. That also took place in Ireland.
Yeah, that was in Ireland.
Yeah, that was Martin McDonagh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an outrageous play.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
I'm a little more proud of my dialect work in the show than I am in that show.
Oh, yeah?
It's a little tighter. Yeah, I think so.
You're further along with the playing the Irish guy.
Yeah, everything helps in the background.
It's less Lucky Charms this time around. You
know? Yeah, I insisted that everyone try not to sound like the Lucky Charms leprechaun.
Like David Fitzgerald.
And I've done several shows where I've been Irish, so I will admit I nitpick
in
shamelessly.
Fact, when we came into using our dialects, I kept being told to pump it up because I didn't want to go Lucky Charms.
Right.
And I'd seen tapes of myself from Lieutenant of Inishmore and wasn't happy with the dialect I used in it.
Oh, you were terrific.
So, you know, it was fine. But I certainly wanted to make sure that it was a little more realistic,
authentic
than what I had in the other show.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guests Krista Schwarting and Rodney Lamb talking about The Seafarer, which opens tonight at Cyrano's. And someone said that you can get a dialect toothache on the stage.
You can. I did a show at Cyrano's last year called Make Good the Fires, in which I played an Irish caretaker who was living in relatively modern-day New York. And Wayne Mitchell, who was the dialect coach on that show, came in and said, you know, your dialect is so good that you're in danger of not being understood. So pull it back a little bit.
Right.
And I will say that the dialects in this show are light enough that they can be understood, although they will certainly, I'm sure, sound strange to people's ears who are not used to hearing them.
Wow. Yeah, so there's a fine line because you don't want to lock anybody out and bring them in.
No, I want everyone to come see the show. I truly think there is something in this show for everyone.
There was a Broadway version of this, right?
This show played on Broadway. It originated in London, and it was directed originally by Connor McPherson, who wrote it, and transferred to Broadway in, I want to say, 2006, and was nominated for a bunch of Tony Awards.
Whoa. Now, Rodney, your character, Sharky, it almost sounds like an archetype. Is there anything like shark-like about his personality that would, make him...
That's one of the mysteries of the play.
Well, his last name's Harkin in the play, so I think that's where part of that comes from.
Harkin, Sharky.
But he also plays a lot of poker. He plays a lot of cards.
Harkin is also a Christmassy word.
So, I think that it's he probably got his nickname from playing cards is what I've justified for the character.
Is there any streetcar named Desire in it?
Card shark.
Because that begins with a poker game.
Yeah, can't help you there. It's very not Tennessee Williams.
Okay.
Sorry.
Because
it's better than Tennessee Williams.
I'm just saying that in this postmodern times we reference. You know?
No.
And we always build on something.
It's
not that kind.
It's a straight play about people. It's funny in that. The people are funny. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm telling anything terribly away when I say that one of the main characters is a heavy drinker. And he has a little pal who drinks a lot, too. He gets furious because there's some people outside drinking on his property, mm-hmm. on his doorstep.
I would say that's not giving anything away. Dick Reichman's character, whose name is Richard, so mm-hmm. he is called Rich and Dick in the show, and it's not anyone forgetting the character's name. It's that's the character's name.
Dick Lynn.
Is a very heavy drinker. Actually, most of the characters in the play are very heavy. It's it's modern day Ireland. The only thing that surprised me when I read the script is they're not smoking while they're playing poker and drinking. And fortunately, the play didn't have them smoking, so I didn't have to deal with that.
But I mean, for the record, all the characters in the show are heavy drinkers. Sharky isn't drinking in the show. But that's a very recent development for him.
But the Dick Reichman character keeps screaming about the winos outside as there he takes another drink
himself. They don't perhaps live in the most upper class of places. and Dick's character is, in fact, tremendously upset that there's a group of winos camped out on their back doorstep.
And is this like a nod to just the kind of the whole globalized homelessness?
I don't know that Connor McPherson was going there.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
Oh, and okay.
A good way to develop character.
It is. Dick's character is very volatile. And one of the pleasures of this show is his relationship with Sharky and how it changes and evolves through the show.
Well, that's what you want, everything changing and everything. And then there's Clancy lowers the boom at the end of Act Two. I mean, what happens? I can't imagine.
I'm not telling you what happens at the end of the second act.
You can't.
This play,
The second act is what it's all about.
Yeah. The second act is what it's all about. It starts with a poker game and continues into a very long night of poker and drinking. And then at the end, you find out what happens to Sharky.
Poker and drinking till Christmas morning.
Christmas is like the beginning of this, the birth of something, I think. So that's a good time to change.
You can say that.
So there's something spiritual, transcendental might happen.
I'm not saying anything. People just have to come and see the show.
Look, we only have a minute longer.
I'm just so fascinated.
Well, you got to come see the show then.
I definitely will, because I heard nothing but good stuff, and I know everybody in the cast, and this is going to be great. And it's not the same people you see.
No.
It's a different version, not only because of the accents. It's because of,
it's a cast of people that draws from a lot of our local theater companies. I mean, Rodney's been spending a lot of time working very hard on a burlesque show along with Mark.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. That's so funny. That's the va-va-voom thing. You got that little, kooky duet going on there.
It's like straight man comic stuff.
It's very funny. I've seen it. These guys are hilarious, I'm telling you. Yeah. But anyway, that's about all we have time for. I'm just, and the play itself is a piece of work.
Play is marvelously written. It's funny.
Yeah,
it's smart. The language is great. The characters are well developed.
Yeah, I read it and decided I had to be in it.
Sounds like a blast.
I read it and decided I had to direct it. So
you're telling me about it. I'm deciding I might want to see it. That's crazy.
And I have to see the rest of it. But
you
we're running
that.
Out of time. And thanks for coming. Krista Schwartig and Rodney Lamb talking about The Seafarer, which opens tonight at Cyrano's.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now here's a Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar, go to datebook49.com, where you can list your event on KSKA's website. Anchorage Opera presents Spellbinding Moments of French Opera on October 9th. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net. And the Anchorage Opera Guild invites you to listen to the stars of that opera this coming Sunday and have lunch with them at the Chart Room at the Anchorage Hilton. For reservations, call 272-2610 or call Anchorage Opera.
This is the last weekend to see Valley Performing Arts' production of Pride and Prejudice, a play based on the Jane Austen book. It plays tonight and tomorrow at 8 and Sunday at 2. For tickets and information, call 373-0195 or go to valleyperformingarts.org.
Anchorage Community Theater is partner with the Anchorage Senior Center's Off Their Rockers drama troupe to present two short plays in October. These plays are by local playwrights Gail High and L.B. Hamilton. Way Off Broadway and A Little Support will be presented on Wednesday, October 6th and 13th at 7 p.m. Tickets are available online at www.actalaska.org. Or call 868-4913.
Anchorage Community Theater presents Witness for the Prosecution, which opens tonight and runs through Sunday through October the 24th. Performances are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings at 7 with a Sunday matinee at 3. Tickets are available online at www.actalaska.org, or you can call Anchorage Community Theater at 868-4913.
A little bit of your time makes a big difference to the Alaska Theater of Youth. Upcoming shows at ACPA need adult backstage chaperones. It's fun, and it's a fun and exciting way to be part of the show without a huge time commitment. Email aty at Alaska Theater of Youth, all one word, and theater spelled T-R-E, or call 338-4901 to sign up for one or more show slots.
And finally, opening tonight at Cyrano's is The Seafarer by Colin McPherson. This show runs Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 p.m. with a Sunday show at 3. The Seafarer runs through October the 27th. For tickets and information, go to centertix.net or call 263-ARTS, or you can call Cyrano's directly at 274-2599. Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website at kska.org. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.